How do you know this place even exists?
I was born there.
So why'd you leave?
I didn't. I was taken as a child. Stolen.
You done this before?
Many times. Now that I drive a war rig, this is the best shot I'll ever have.
And them?
They're looking for hope.
What about you?
Redemption.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Bina 007 Movie Reviews, back for a 10-minute spoiler-free movie review of Mad Max Fury Road. Oh my goodness, so excited about this film. This may be the first summer in a long list of summers where I'm not most excited about a Marvel movie, which takes some doing, and actually, my God, this film is just pure exhilaration. It's pure fun. It reminds me of why we go to the movies, and that's for spectacle. It's to see something unbelievable, entertaining, ridiculous, fantastical, just balls out gonzo crazy. I mean, you don't even need much dialogue. This film barely has any dialogue. It's almost like a 2-hour silent movie with the most insane orchestral accompaniment by Junkie XL. Let me tell you, the script for this film is non-existent. The score for this film is amazing. It's just so integral to the movie, to the point where Junkie XL himself is playing this kind of steampunk guitarist going to war on this caravan of crazy stitched together post-apocalyptic vehicles. But anyway, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself in my excitement. So for those of you who remember the 1980s, not many of you, I'm sure, Mad Max was a very low-budget exploitation film made by George Miller in 1979, and it's the film that brought Mel Gibson to fame. And he plays this ex-cop in a post-apocalyptic Australia who basically just runs around in some cool leather outfit getting revenge on a bunch of weirdos. And that film kind of got a cult following, made a bit of money, and you got Mad Max 2 and Mad Max 3 Beyond Thunderdome, famous for starring Tina Turner. So the movies obviously got more Hollywood as they got bigger, and but still retained, I think, their kind of Australian gritty outback panoramas and just, I don't know, just kind of an irreverence. You could tell these were movies made by an outsider. And they were all filmed by George Miller, so he stayed the director through its fame. And there were always rumours that there'd be some kind of fourth movie. And I think this particular incarnation started off in 2003. And I think it was going to star Mel Gibson. And then he went off to make The Passion of the Christ, maybe? Or Apocalypto? Anyway, it got put on hold for another 10 years. And now we have the wonderful Mad Max 4, aka Mad Max Fury Road. And it's so worth the wait. This movie is everything that Speed Racer and those pod racing bits from the awful Star Wars prequel trilogy wanted to be. It's like every single post-apocalyptic Western amped to the max. It doesn't matter that every single part of it's a cliche, because it's doing it bigger and bolder and with more creative genius and with more conviction and with more of a general two fingers up to mainstream Hollywood, who says you can't do this, it's been done. It's just beyond. It's Mad Max beyond Mad Max, what can I say? So as the movie kicks off, we're, of course, in a post-apocalyptic Australia. The first scene is literally Mad Max kind of picking up this mutated two-headed lizard and just, like, eating it. And you know you're in for a good time. He then pretty quickly gets captured by a bunch of road warriors who take him to the Citadel. It's a pre-title card prologue. And there's very little dialogue. It happens incredibly quick. And yet, the genius of George Miller is you get exactly what is going on. You don't need to be handheld. You don't need it to be slowed down and explained to you. You get it. So this is a world in which petrol and water are incredibly scarce, and this kind of Darth Vader-esque kind of guy is in control of everything because he controls the water supply. And he's obviously a bad person. And he's obviously in some weird way farming out these warrior boys who all look almost identical, and they've got this sort of cult worshipping of their cult leader and will do anything for him. And Mad Max, who's been captured, is just one of many human donors, basically. He's just there for his body parts. So it's kind of cool because in this movie, everything is reused, recycled, patched together, stitched together, from your clothes to your cars to your weapons to your people, apparently. And it also has this kind of weird hinted at Margaret Atwood, The Handmaid's Tale kind of aspect to this modern world, whereby everyone's function has been very narrowly weighted down. So you've got the fit young women who are the breeders, who basically are sex slaves. Then you have the mothers, who are the sort of the corpulent old women with big tits who kind of provide the breast milk. And, you know, the cult leader is called Daddy, and it's this kind of messed up familial weirdness. And at one point, one of the people who are on the trail of these guys says, "All this over a family squabble?" And in the midst of all this, you have Charlize Theron, who plays Imperata Furiosa. What a wonderful name, the Furious Empress. And she is driving the gasoline rig, the war rig, out of the citadel to go to Gastown and fill it up with petrol, presumably. And this is a kind of against all odds Lawrence of Arabia crossing the Nefut Desert journey, and she goes with her minions who are all tooled up with weaponry. And this is like the first half hour of the movie, and this is how you think it's going to play out. And then she does this like left-hand turn, and you realize that she's basically going rogue, and she's not going to Gastown. And you don't know why. Her minions don't know why. They start freaking out. And then you realize that she has basically got in her war rig all the breeder women, so all the fit young chicks who are being used and abused, and she's going to drive them to the holy land that is the green place where, you know, all good things come from. And so she's driving across the desert. She's got the minions who are starting to kind of think something's up on her tail. She's got the evil bad cult leader now with all his war boys coming after her. And she's got various kind of roadside rebels from, you know, various places coming after her. And in the midst of all this, she has Mad Max. Because Mad Max, in the most redonkulous movie twist ever, is literally strapped to the front pylon of one of these cars with a blood transfusion line going from him into one of the war boys called Nux to basically pump him full of blood as he goes on this chase. So that's how Mad Max gets tied up in the whole thing. To say that he is peripheral is, I think, a little bit unfair, because Tom Hardy is obviously very charismatic, and even when he's doing all those weird kind of accent things that he does, and who knows what his accent's meant to be in this movie, thank God he has very few words. It's mostly grunts and mumbles, and it's just Tom Hardy being Tom Hardy and basically mad, right? So he's perfectly cast. He's cast as himself. But he is kind of peripheral because he doesn't really have anything to do. He's sort of dragged along, first of all, as the blood bag to this warrior, and then basically as the sidekick of Charlize Theron's character. She's the one who makes the key decisions, and it's her story. It's her narrative arc. It's her redemption that we're following. And he's kind of bound up in that and kind of helps her out a little bit, but ultimately this is her tale. And it's a tale very much bound up in the right of women not to be property. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty radical, pretty subversive stuff there from George Miller. For an exploitation film, it has kind of a wholesome message. I don't want to say too much more about the plot because things will happen in the second half, but this isn't a movie that's really about plot. It's a 2-hour, almost non-stop chase scene. That's the way you have to see about it. It's almost like Fast and Furious, Fury Road edition. You're just in this convoy of cars, going one way, going the other way, and then it comes to an end. And it's really testament to George Miller that never gets dull. It never gets dull. And he just knows where you're chock full of exhilaration and you just need to slow down for 5 minutes, and he'll give you a pause. I mean, it's beautifully paced, this movie. Beautifully scored. And the other two things I want to say is that the score, as I said, is brilliant, it's pumping, but it's not frivolous. Like, the first time I saw this guy playing the guitar hanging off the front of a convoy car, I was like, oh, please, this is just redonkulous. But it actually, you know, does get integrated into the final battle. It makes sense. And similarly, the use of 3D, and actually also tied into the musician, is incredibly good. It's very immersive. You often don't notice it, but when it is used in the set pieces to really give you a sense that you're in the heart of a big kaboom, then my goodness, it really works. So yes, this movie may be seen as a bit derivative, but, you know, in fairness, George Miller established the tropes that have then become derivative. You know, with the Tina Turner character, he was one of the first to put out one of these striking female characters. He was the first to put steampunk on screen. So he has the right, more than anyone, to recycle that stuff. Charlize Theron is the new Ripley. Love it. Let's see her in an Alien reboot. She just owns that character. Nicholas Hoult is the gonzo crazy cult warrior boy. Oh my goodness. Definitely his best performance to date. Tom Hardy, playing Tom Hardy. I just don't know what there isn't to like about this film. This has to be the hit of the summer. I want to see the next Mad Max movie. I want to see lots of Mad Max movies. I don't want to see Charlize Theron play Ripley, and my life will be complete. So I'm going to go and see this movie again. I hope you go and see it. If you have seen it and agree or disagree with my take, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at beena007.com. If not, thank you very much for listening. Mad Max Fury Road has a running time of 120 minutes and is rated R. The movie opens pretty much everywhere this weekend, but it finally opens in Hungary on May 21st, Cambodia on May 21st, Poland on May 22nd, and Japan on June 20th.